Join the chorus. It's time for another North Melbourne Footy Club update with Dean Vasek and special guests on Hashtag Kangaroos.
Welcome to another episode. My name is Dean Vasek. You can find me on Twitter at Hashtag Kangas or on Instagram at Hashtag Kangaroos Podcast. So today I was joined by Mark Hello once again to review our performance against Adelaide on Sunday. Another disappointing loss, I guess you could say. There's plenty to talk about. It was more the way we're playing. The structure, the system, rather than actually worrying about the overall performance of the game. So there's plenty to discuss. I won't hold you up. I'll bring on Mark right now.
All right. So once again, joined by Mark Hello. So Mark, before we start going through the game on yesterday, we'll go through the Jeff Walsh appointment to start with. Is he there to pretty much clean house, you think, or is he there to review how the whole process of match day and so forth is going?
Well, put it this way, David Nobles was asked about it I think it was the Thursday press conference and again after the game yesterday, and he said he'll be there to reinforce what we're doing. I think there's almost no chance that that's what he's there to do. It'd be very rare for a board to put someone in there in that situation to just reinforce what they think's already going well. Unless they're trying to spin a story for the members and supporters, and that won't work. So he's there to make significant change, and it'll either be very senior people, or it'll certainly be everyone around them at the very least. And I'd be very surprised given the fact we're now sitting as a record for any AFL or VFL club with 10 games straight with 40-plus points.
I did say that.
We're now at historic levels in terms of failure at the moment. So I'll be surprised if he's there to do anything other than make significant change. And 99 times out of 100, when any AFL or VFL club have done this in the past, they already know what they're going to change. They just want to be able to justify it. So it's almost a way of doing it by bringing someone external in to justify what they're already planning to do. I don't mean to be cynical by saying that, but that is literally that's what's happened in the past over and over again.
I don't think it's just going to come down to coaching as well. I think there might be other people behind the scenes involved as well. I mean, I actually read Caroline Wilson's article the first time in about 5 years. I read her article detailing, and I was surprised to hear that Paul Ruse is still on the books. He's obviously working via Zoom. There's obviously a few others here that, I need a good looking at, I suppose, as to what they actually bring.
It's a very good point about Ruse. You could mount an argument that while he was in Melbourne last year during the course of the season and heavily involved, that he actually had a really positive effect, and it's been a disaster since he's gone back to Hawaii. But either way, you can't continue not being there. It doesn't work.
No, I think there's only so much you can get out of a Zoom meeting as well. You can't say he's committed. I mean, to the cause, if he's I don't think he probably cares either way. If they sort of did say we've got no role for you or anything like that, so
I agree.
And there's probably a CEO that's under a bit of pressure as well. This has obviously come through Anthony Stevens. A bit concerned about our performances. He's been very vocal in the past on Twitter about the way we've played as well before he came on the board. So, obviously,
I've never noticed that. So, when you say he's been vocal on Twitter, what what way? I've never actually seen that before.
I remember once he, don't quote me exactly, but no. he was a bit disappointed with the ball movement one game. That it was a bit too slow. Yeah. I think it was under Brad Scott. That's going back a few years now.
Well, if he wasn't happy then, he's definitely not happy with the ball movement now.
I don't think many people are, to be honest with you. So, what can you do? So, look, he's obviously, I think it's his first day today, Jeff Walsh. So, I think they'll give him a few weeks to sort of suss it out. I believe he goes on holidays overseas in September, so he's gonna have to work quick for the next couple of months.
No, it's actually August.
Oh well, there you go. So yeah, well, that's only a couple months away. So
Yeah.
Oh, no, not even. So.
I mean, yeah. I would imagine the board don't believe it's as simple as just a problem with the coach. I'm sure they think it's there's multiple issues that have to be sorted out, and they want to know exactly what they are.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot going on at the moment, so which we'll talk about in a second. Yeah. We'll go to the game now. Anyway, I thought we started off pretty well the first quarter. I thought it was a very open game. We're moving the ball quite well, and then old habits die hard. I guess the ball movement stagnated after that, and there's a lot of long kicks down the line without much invention. How did you see the game?
Yeah, I think that's pretty accurate. I mean, it feels similar every week. It's as soon as the opposition know that, as soon as you apply a certain level of pressure on us, then we go straight. We end up just panicking and go straight down the line. And if you apply it for long enough, we'll fall away altogether, and then you'll be able to break the game open.
Yeah, I mean.
Yep, go on.
I thought Adelaide played pretty well, but I think a lot of the time we're letting them dictate the terms too much. We're not being proactive. I mean, there were signs that we did get some repeat inside 50 entries for patches, which is a bit of an improvement as the previous weeks. But, you know, it's just it's the same old story, you know. It's when things go against us, I mean, we got a bit of a stiff 50-metre penalty there on the wing that resulted in a goal. I think it might have been a 1 or 2 goal game at that stage. We just don't seem to recover. We seem to, just go into old habits of just going long down the line. A lot of hack kicks out of the defensive 50 as well, without any real structure and out of stoppages. We won at clearances, but I think it's the quality of clearances as well. The quality of their clearances was a lot different to ours. Ours were a lot of hack kicks forward.
Well, they got one handball out, and then they were under no pressure. We got a handball out, we're under pressure straight away, and we'd kick the ball down the line and then eventually win it back. I mean, that's been the case all year. I mean, look at the tackle count. I think it might have been halftime, 40 to 20.
Yeah, that's right. And
if you have a look at the tackle count inside 50 for the game, it's 5 to 20. I mean, if we think we're going to beat anyone with 5 tackles in a game, and that's been the case all year, by the way, if we seriously think that can just continue from round 1 through to round 15 without any change, none, no change in that inside 50 tackle count for 15 games, and think that's going to be able to work for us. I mean, it's just, that's the part that I'm, it's not that we're losing. It's not even that we're losing by the amount we're losing by. It's just, you cannot point to one thing we've changed from round 1 to round 15. Yeah. I'll challenge anyone to say that we've gone, okay, this is not working in round 1, and by round 15, we've turned it into a positive. We've fixed that now. That's really working well. We've fiddled around with certain things. Now, instead of a year ago, we were saying to the supporters, we're going to be a fast-moving down the corridor side. And a year later, we're down the boundary line. Let's just try and knock it out and avoid it. 20-goal loss side. I mean, it's just, you know, we're now talking about we're happy that we've won. We've looked good in a couple of quarters this season. The change from where we were 12 months ago is so dramatic and so disappointing. I just find it almost impossible to believe anyone would find that normal in terms of a rebuild. I know there's a lot of people that say improvement's not linear. But when things are this bad, of course it's not linear. It'll never be linear. In fact, it'll never become linear. That's just an excuse. It's like saying the word rebuild is a reason we're not improving. It's because we're rebuilding. If you keep saying the word rebuild over and over again within the club, eventually the players believe that. And eventually it just siphons down to, we're going to get beaten badly every week because we're in a rebuild. The supporters understand you delist the amount of players that we've done. It's going to be tough for 2 or 3 years. That's a given. And we're going to play a lot of young players. It's not going to be easy. But you don't expect to be uncompetitive and not improve in any area of the game week after week after week. And 15 rounds in, not be able to point to anything. And just say, we think we've made ground on the previous year, but refuse to explain in what area that is. It's got to a point where for 90% of supporters, I would guess, they find it untenable that they can't see where we're going to get better at the moment. And the problem with that is, and this is the most important thing, if you're a supporter, no matter what your opinion is, you have to have hope. And that includes the players, by the way. And if you get to a point where there is no hope, then you're in real trouble, because then you start to lose members, you start to lose sponsors, and you'll start to lose players. And I think they're right on the borderline of that at the moment. I think that's why Walsh is there, and I think that's why there'll be significant change.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly sounds like it. It's almost edging pretty close at the moment. You'd have to think, and you don't have to go very far to look at how disgruntled supporters are. I mean, all you have to do is look at the comments. I mean, the president seems to be getting tagged in a lot of Twitter messages.
Yeah.
Which is not fair on her, really. I mean, it's not her fault. So, you know, she can only do so much, and you know, it's easier to be an armchair sort of saying, do this, do that. I mean,
she's appointed Walsh. I mean, there's like, she's obviously been talking to ex-players, current players, and she's got to a point where she's concerned. She's appointed Walsh. You can't ask much more than that with someone who's just been appointed the president. Personally, I would have liked a review 6 or 7 weeks ago, as I was saying. But to be honest, that would have been premature. I understand that. But she's got to a point where she needs to be, if she is going to go forward with Noble, and that would be a big if, she needs to know for sure that there's absolutely, the players are 100% behind him. And if it's not Noble, then it's certainly something around Noble that's causing this. There is zero chance they're coming back and going, everything's fine, just keep doing what you're doing. You don't get to a point where it's the worst performance over 10 weeks of any team in the AFL, VFL history, and you say everything's all good, particularly when visibly you're looking at players that look distinct. I'm not singling out Taron Thomas by saying this. I'm talking about players over the last 6 or 7 weeks. At various times, different players have looked disinterested. And it's generally the guys under 25 who are just looking frustrated, confused, angry. And it's not just because they're losing. There's a connection problem. And I found it interesting during the week that Harvey came out in defense of Jason Horne-Francis and why he's re-signed. And he made a few comments that some people thought was strange. But I think there's a few people at the club feeling like the players are not getting support. It feels like, and I'm guessing, and I admit I'm guessing, there's an us against them. It's the coaches think you should be doing this and you're not doing it. And there's an us against them belief. And I'm not blaming anyone for that, but once that connection goes, it's very hard to get it back.
Oh, 100%. Look, I mean, I've got no doubt that, some players are disgruntled. Whether some players are in the reserves or that are disgruntled or actually in the seniors, there's a few players out of contract in the season. We don't know which way that's going to go. We've certainly been a club that have always kept players, and, you know, that seems to, you know, I mean, there's a lot of murmurs about certain individual players. Like, I don't know if it's true or not, but we're usually pretty good at re-signing players that are out of contract pretty early.
I'm more worried about the fact that the players that are contracted for next year. I mean, look, obviously Cam Zerha is a big worry because he's not contracted for next year. And that's the one that would worry a lot of supporters right now. But there's a lot of players that are contracted for next year that look disinterested. There's some that look obviously disinterested, and then there's others that just are not going at 100%. And then you look at Scott, Curtis Taylor, and a few others, and you can see, well, if everyone was doing what Curtis Taylor does, we wouldn't really have an issue. I mean, I personally think we have more talent than Adelaide, and I thought if we were doing the right things on the weekend, we would have beaten them. Yeah. And I'm sure a lot of supporters feel the same way. And you just go, and the commentators kept saying Adelaide's pressure's at like over 200%, North's at 130 or whatever it was. You just go, well, that has to be a connection issue. Or it's a confidence issue, whatever you want to call it. Just something's not right. Adelaide are not more talented than us. I just don't believe that's right. Look, David comes on afterwards after the game and talks about, you know, turnovers and whatever else, but that's a confidence issue. That's them putting pressure on us and us not putting pressure on them. You can't just every week saying we turn the ball over and just say it's got nothing to do with me. That's the players stuffing up every week.
It's just there's not enough there about our football too. Like every time we overlapped on a weekend, you've seen that Nick Larkey handball over the top. We used a lot of overlap run. Last quarter we did one as well. That was a good overlap. And there's just not enough of that during the game. I mean, when we do turnovers, it's slow ball movement, trying to pinpoint passes for openings. And, unfortunately, Jackson Archer, missed a couple of kicks. But, that happens. Aaron Hall dropped a pretty easy mark. Little things like that. But sometimes it's just the slow ball movement going long down the line.
We've got a player like Powell, who was so exciting last year, who can't get minutes in midfield.
Yeah, he had another, I think it was attended 16% of centre bounces on the weekend. And I was actually going to bring this up with you. Why are we prioritising a Hugh Greenwood? Nothing against Hugh Greenwood, a Jed Anderson. Probably, we know what they give us. We're getting smashed every week anyway. Why aren't we prioritising a Tom Powell and giving him 60% in midfield?
Well, that's a coach in self-preservation mode. And I don't mean that. I don't blame him because of what the situation he's in. But we're losing by an average of 10 goals a week, and we've got an absolute potential gun going through our midfield who's getting, as you said, 16%. And his confidence is absolutely wrecked. So let's look at the guys that were looking like they were growing exponentially last year. Powell looked like an absolute gun. Can't do much about Phillips. He's been unwell, so he doesn't get to play. Stevenson looked like he took a huge jump from coming to Collingwood to us and was really looking promising. LDU, tick. I reckon he's gone. He's continued to improve this year, so that's fine. Simpkins stagnated or gone backwards. Lazaro is not getting a game. He's playing in the VFL. I don't understand what they're doing. You brought in a bloke on 500 grand as a key forward ruckman who is not playing at all.
So well, I think, I didn't mean to cut you off there.
No, you're right.
I think, we talked about Jeff Walsh, and I think Brady Rawlings might be under a bit of pressure as well. And he's probably got a few questions to answer as well as far as recruitment goes. And, why three recruiters left all at the same time? I know there was different issues, but it's still at the end of the day, three people left the job at the same time, effectively. So, it's going to be interesting, like you said, with Callum Collins-Jones. I'll go back to that. Yeah, I mean, 500,000 is sitting in reserves, and almost effectively at the end of the season, like Goldstein's been in pretty good form, but you kind of have to let him go.
Put it this way, Callum Collins-Jones. He's kicked four goals only a couple of times for Richmond last year in games. We've got Mackay playing forward for us. Now, I didn't mind them moving Mackay forward given how bad things would be going on our forward line. I was actually happy to see something change. But the reality was we kept with it for the whole game while 10 goals got kicked down the other end. I don't even blame Noble for that. It's more than... what was the point of bringing Callum Cameron-Jones in when Josh Walker is not capable of playing on Tex Walker? But we're going to let him get best on ground. We're going to let Callum Cameron-Jones dominate in a VFL game but not play down. I mean, it doesn't make sense to me at the moment what they're doing. Conlon's injured. They can't do much about him. Hopefully he'll get a chance later in the season. But you're going to pay Callum Collins-Jones 500 grand a year, like play him in the seniors.
Yeah, I mean, they're in it. I mean, I think they were a bit scarred after that round one game against Hawthorn, where it sort of hurt us trying to play Sherry, Collins-Jones, and Goldstein all on the same team.
Now that's a fair point. That's a fair point. They probably were scarred by that. And I'm not going to pick on one player because lots of players have been down this year. But if you're going to be scarred by that, surely you'd be scarred by Turner's form. In the last 6 weeks,
I actually thought he was okay on the week, and he played on Rochelle.
I don't mind him. I've always liked him. I've met him, and he's a lovely bloke. And I think he's a gutsy, tough footballer. I've got no issue, but I'm just saying supporters, everyone's attacking Turner how poor he's been. But if we were going to be scarred by Callum Coleman-Jones in round one, you can't. You'd be more scarred by Turner's form, to be fair.
Yeah.
You know, and you'd give Callum Coleman-Jones another chance up forward at least. I'm not saying, you know, he's there as a ruckman. So, and the other thing, look, probably more to the point on the forward line is we're averaging four tackles in our forward half every week, four or five tackles. That to me, look, I'm very excited about Phoenix Spicer. And I was rapt to hear he played another good game on the weekend. And I think between he and Curtis, who I'm sure we'll talk about positives from the weekend, but certainly Curtis has won and he's been a massive positive all year. And Spicer's put on weight and he's looking like he's going to be a real player for what I've seen in the VFL. He's going to be a player for us. And that's what we need. We can't afford to be laying five tackles a game. It's got to be more like 10 or 15.
Yeah. At least you'd have to think, or at least put a little bit more pressure on. At the moment, teams are still walking the ball out of their defensive 50. Yeah, far too easy against us, and you've seen that in the second half on the weekend. We'll talk about Jackson Archer's debut game now. How did you see that? I thought it was very good.
I was rapt. Absolutely. I was rapt all week. The whole story was magnificent. I thought Glenn might not have liked the phone call being recorded and everything else, but I thought that was an amazing moment to watch, to allow the supporters to be in close and see that. And I thought it was very, very touching moment. And the way he played, I think he reminded me so much of his father. The way he plays taller than he is in the air, he's dynamic, very quick with his hands, and he's got a level of intensity you can't teach anyone. I don't know whether he's born with it or his father's taught him to do that, but I just loved watching it. And he's one of those people that plays better at a higher standard. And maybe that's because he is so intense. I don't know, but his hands were clean. Look, he made some bad decisions, you know, with his kicking. That's fine. I doubt if he'll do that again. Either way, I couldn't have been happy with the way he played, and I thought it was a fantastic thing for the club. Along with when you think about the fact we've got three father sons playing in the back line, it's magnificent. So that to me was a huge positive, along with Curtis and Curtis Taylor, who I think is now going to a level, like he's improving week in, week out. And Bailey Scott did it early in the season. Unfortunately, got injured on Saturday. But, those have been some of the positives. And I think Luke Davies Uniac, considering the side he's playing in and the way things are going, I think there's great opportunity for him. I honestly believe things aren't anywhere near as bad as they seem from a list perspective. I just think something's broken internally at the club that they need to fix. Something happened over pre-season. I've no idea what it is, but it's got broken and they have to fix it. And I don't think we went from an exciting list last year to a shocking list this year. I just don't believe that.
Definitely not. I'm sure we'll talk about that a bit more. We'll talk more about other players. Any other positives for you out of the game?
Yeah, I thought... I thought Zerha looked very dangerous up forward. I thought having a second big man up forward actually created that opportunity for him. I know it didn't quite work out, but whether it's the right thing or not to have Mackay back there or not is another question. I don't mind the fact that he tried him there. I thought it made us more dangerous up there. I just didn't think we took advantage of it. Zerha probably missed a few opportunities, but... I think that shows potentially whether that's a combo down the track. I think that shows that that will improve. It worked a lot better than having a ruckman down there. I don't think that's working well. I thought Cherry did okay. Yeah. Thought he looked all right. And Curtis was the other main one that I was really excited about. He to me, it looks like he's already played 100 games.
He's
a class act. He's going to be. For someone where that is one tick you have to give the recruiters, he's an absolute steal. And when you think Glenn Archer played that way, Goda apparently is really looking good in the VFL. they might have. I don't think the last 2 years of recruitment's been bad. I think Ford, Spicer, Phillips, Powell. I think all those guys will end up being good players. I just think there's something a bit missing at the moment that's creating a problem. It's hard to put your finger on, and I just think there's a lot more talent in that list than we're. It's easy for all the outside media to go, oh, North's got the worst list anyone's ever seen. But you don't go from a potential, like, exciting list at the end of the season to the worst list anyone's ever seen like that unless something's wrong. It just doesn't make sense to me. I would hate to see us go down the Mark Neal track where a lot of young players left the club or didn't get developed and things went wrong and they ended up starting again. I think that's what most supporters are worried about at the moment. I think we'll avoid that. I think we've Sonia's got on top of this quick enough. And whether it's the coach or not the coach, I don't really care. Whatever it is, I think they'll sort it out and things will improve from here on. We're just going to have to be patient for the next 4 weeks because I think most people would have seen the weekend and thought something has to happen right now. And I felt like that, to be honest. But, we'll just have to let it play out and see. I think they want to uncover more than just one problem. I think they want to know exactly what the structure needs to be going forward. And by the way, Caroline Wilson's already been on and said Alistair Clarkson wouldn't come to North because we can't afford him. What a ridiculously stupid comment to make when we've got no... And by the way, in the same sentence you said he might look at St Kilda that are $10 million in debt when we've got no debt. I mean, just absolutely ridiculous comment. I mean, unbelievably stupid. But look, I'm not saying Clarkson's coming to us or not, but that won't be the reason why that we can't afford him. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, I take what she says and Matthew Lloyd and Eddie McGuire. I take that with a little grain of salt. They don't back anything up with facts. No.
Worst show on television. Horrific.
Well, Matthew Lloyd was saying that Lance Franklin's finished, and when you look at his stats, he's kicking goals every week. So
laughably bad. I agree.
Yeah, what do you do? Exactly. They're not accountable for their actions, so they can say what they want, I guess, at the end of the day. But,
talking about, I'm just interested in your opinion on this. So, Saturday, Sam Edmonds said that the CEO was blindsided by the Walsh appointment. And I noticed Sonia came back quite quickly and said that's absolutely incorrect. But I've heard nothing from the CEO since. That to me is interesting because Sonia might, I believe Sonia's 100% correct, but the CEO might have well been telling everyone around him that he felt blindsided by it, whether that's the reality or not. And that's what happens with news reporting. One or two people close to the CEO says, oh no, he didn't know anything was happening. He didn't know anything about it. He was blindsided, blah, blah. And it gets reported. And the CEO is thinking, well, hold on. I told him that was what was happening. What do you mean he was blindsided? That's incorrect. So it's I just want to say it's never as simple as it seems with those things. Reporters don't just make stuff up for the hell of it, knowing they could well make a complete fool of themselves if they did. That's how they lose their job.
Well, I wouldn't. You'd be surprised.
Yeah, well, it does happen. That's true.
Yeah. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me. But, yeah, look, I think he's under a bit of pressure at the moment, the CEO. He's not a football person. At the end of the day, he's come from a basketball background and a cricket background, and he didn't have the greatest reputation as a cricket person. Right. So, yeah, I mean, I'm not so sure. Yeah, but look, we only hear what we hear, I guess. At the end of the day, we don't know if there's any facts behind what they say, but yeah, apparently he's under a little bit of pressure as well. Actually, under a fair bit of pressure from what I understand. So, we'll see it. We'll see how we go with that. You've mentioned a few negatives in the game. I thought Aaron Hall getting a metres gained.
Yes.
Record metres gained, look, almost 1,200 metres. I think it was 1,169. That was he was very impressive. A few hack kicks forward as well, but he was under pressure all day and he couldn't run and carry the back line all day. But he's been a good in since he's come back, 38 touches as well. So,
I'd keep him there for another 12 months next year, wouldn't you?
Well, he signed a 2 or 3 year deal, didn't he? I think he signed a 2 year deal last year. So.
No, I think it was only 12 months.
Oh, I'll have to check on that. I reckon he signed a 2 year deal, but
I'm happy to have him there next year if that's the case.
Oh yeah, no, you'll definitely. I think you'll definitely be there. So, yeah, yeah, I mean, we don't have many other options at the moment. So, we missed him when he wasn't there. So, yeah, we kind of need him back. We kind of need him there to give us a rebounding defender that's pretty solid. So we kind of need someone else there. I was surprised that Tarryn Thomas wasn't thrown there over the weekend, to be honest with you. So just to give him a feel for the ball. I know we did throw him into midfield after he struggled.
I've been saying I want him in the back flank since the preseason. It's just not going to happen.
No, it doesn't look like it, does it? So, yeah, we'll talk about him in a minute. There's lots to talk about with him.
Yeah.
Oh, you've mentioned a few negatives. It's mainly to do with game plans and so forth. Any players, besides Tarryn Thomas, we'll go to him, I suppose. Any other players disappoint you over the weekend?
I'll be honest with you about players. I'm very generally reluctant to criticise any players at the moment, given I just don't think it's a normal playing field for them. I think there's a few players that are happy or comfortable under the current situation and seem to be doing well. Like, I think Bailey Scott and Taylor would be two examples of that. And I think generally the first-year players, maybe apart from Jason Horne-Francis, are desperate to do the right thing and please and establish themselves. So Curtis, Archer, Bergman, that have all played. You know, Bergman unfortunately got injured, so he didn't get really a chance. But Archer and Curtis have been revelations so far. And Cherry's done really well as well in that circumstance. I think McDonald and Simpkin have really tried their guts out and been great. And I think LDU's been an improver. Not improver, but he's just continued along the path he was on, and that's been really positive. It sounds like Gota, Spicer, and Charlie Combin, although Charlie probably a bit frustrated, but they seem to be progressing okay. But overall, there's a disconnect with at least a large number of players at the moment, which is causing an issue. So to be honest with you, there's been so little players that have progressed from last year to this year. And as a group, not only just individually, but with what they're doing without the ball as a team. So it's one thing to be going backwards with your possessions and what you're doing proactively as a player. But when you're then as a team not doing the right things defensively, combine those two things is a real problem. So I've said this to supporters on Twitter as well. I don't think there's any point criticising individual players until we understand, you know, at least until the Jeff Walsh thing's over, what's been going on, because there's too many players obviously unhappy at the club at the moment. And if you're unhappy and it's not comfortable and you don't feel confident in the coach or what the coach feels about you, you're not going to play your best footy. And that generally is, I think Simpkin's one of the examples of it, who's a class player and a leader. And he looks deflated and lacking in confidence at the moment. You know, just something's not quite right. I know I've been banging on about this for 2 months, but it's not the normal thing. And I think supporters need to stop having a crack at individual players probably for the next few months and just wait and see what comes out of this and then just take a fresh look at this again. Because I don't honestly believe we're lacking in talent. I saw enough at the end of last year. You know, you talk about overlap. We lost a game to the Bulldogs last year when they were really firing, and we lost by 20-odd points, and we were right in the game up until the last quarter. And we were just – talk about overlap. It was non-stop overlap. We were a very confident side, even though we were losing games. We won 4 or 5. We drew with GWS. We pushed some very good sides. We're the complete opposite to that this year. We have got no confidence. We can't run the ball. We're going straight down the line. The coach is, every time the coach speaks, he talks about the fact that 90% of what he's doing is correct. And then he talks about how the players are letting him down because they turn the ball over and they do this and that. They don't do this well. They don't do that well. Oh, we've been happy with a couple of quarters here. And, you know, we're finding little positives. It's a very negative atmosphere to listen to. I don't think it's healthy, and I'm not blaming the coach for everything, but I don't think it's sustainable. You can't have historical lows in terms of losing 10 weeks in a row by 40 points plus, and it's an average of 58 points, and expect any supporter to believe that's normal or that's sustainable. I just think it has to change. So we'll see. But I'll be worried if the worst thing that could possibly happen is for the bring out a press release in 3 weeks and say Walsh has told us that everything's great. We just need to keep doing what we're doing.
Yeah, well, you never know, do you? It's a funny world at the moment. So
it could. If that happens, can you imagine the backlash?
I think we won't get any supporters to a game if that happens. So, yeah, no.
That's the risk, Dino. If you don't make a change in this sort of situation, it's not Carlton, Robert Walls wins a premiership, has a bad season, gets sacked. This is not what we're talking about. We're talking about historical lows, players looking disinterested, real issues. And if you don't do something, you've got the risk of losing large numbers of members, potentially losing players, sponsors. It's a terrible position for the board to be in. Even if they suspect maybe it's not, maybe Noble's the right person and maybe he's not, they're not quite sure. It would be an incredibly gutsy decision to go, nope, we're just going to keep doing what we're doing. We're sure it's fine. I mean, look, good luck to them. If they've got the guts to do that and they really believe that's right, I'll back them in. But it's hard to believe with what we're seeing.
Yeah, I think deep down they know this isn't working. So,
I mean,
this sort of happened with the Brad Scott era, and maybe there's a bit of a worry, and I don't know, maybe there's a 1% chance of this, that they're worried that if someone else takes over, they do a good job, that they've pretty much, like a reshore, they have to keep them on. So maybe there's a bit to that, and they want to. I guess they just want to give David Noble a fair crack at it. What's his name? Mark McGowan. I spoke to him last week, and he sort of said, "Yeah, you've got to get stability at a football club," and we're definitely trying. We're definitely trying.
I think he's right I think that's a fair point in the fact that the club would love that to be the case, because nobody wants Brad Scott to be sacked, Reece Shaw to be sacked, and then the next coach to be sacked. I mean, it's diabolical. It's a catastrophic incompetence, I mean, to be honest. But if you've got it wrong over and over again, well, you can't just pretend you haven't and just go, well, stuff it, we have to just go with it now. Because the one thing North Melbourne Footy Club cannot afford is to get to year four and go, we're starting again. Yeah. Year four of a rebuild. We can't get to 2024 and go, oh, sorry, everyone. We bungled that. We're going to start now. For them to continue along the path they're on right now, they have to be so certain that everything they're doing is right. It's just we're just unlucky right now. And that takes a lot of... You'd have to almost be delusional to believe that's the case, given everything that's going on right now. It's just almost impossible. So... You've just got to admit we've made a mistake again. I mean, whether they should have sacked Brad Scott or not when he said we needed a rebuild, I'd argue that he was right. But let's forget that. They've made that decision. They've then gone reshored. They've already admitted that was a mistake. So it must be bloody hard to admit that they've made a mistake again. But if you have, you have. The worst thing you can do is keep going when you've made a mistake. You just got to deal with it. The supporters will forgive that, but what they won't forgive is them pretending everything's okay when it's not. No way will they forgive that. So it's just, I don't envy anyone on that board. I don't envy the coach. I don't envy the coaching group. It was never going to be easy when you delist that many players. And I've heard this nonstop nonsense about, improvement's not always linear. Well, yes, that might be correct, but rebuilds that work, improvement is linear. And David King showed this over and over again, where you might not win that many games over the first 3 or 4 years, but your percentage will keep improving. And ours has gone backwards at a rate of knots. You know, we've gone to a record low. You can't just go, oh, linear's not always improvement. So we'll just cross our fingers and pray that next year everything works out, because you can't afford that risk. But I'll preface that by saying, if the players turn around and go, we believe in Noble, it's not his fault, these are the reasons we don't think it's working, okay, that's fair enough. I'm not inside the club. That might be the case, and I'll accept that. But it just doesn't look that way from the outside. And the way he's talking in those press conferences at the moment, he doesn't even sound like he's got any confidence himself of it turning around. So I don't know. We'll see what comes in the next few weeks. But yeah, it's been a very tough time for supporters and everyone involved in the club. But I don't believe the list is as bad as what we're showing.
No, I don't think so either. We'll talk about a disgruntled player, one of them. What do you make of Tarryn Thomas and social media reply to a player questioning his performance on Sunday? It was pretty much happened straight after the game too, by the looks of it.
Yeah, well, God knows what he was doing on social media that quickly after the game.
Yeah.
Well, first things first, either he shouldn't have been playing and the club have got to take responsibility for the fact they should have understood he wasn't mentally in the right frame of mind. If he was determined to play and wanted to play, then he has to take responsibility for letting down his teammates in that situation. I certainly feel for him and his personal situation with his nan. In hindsight, he shouldn't have played. I mean, there's no other way of looking at it. Going, he shouldn't have been playing. He obviously was not anywhere near in the right frame of mind to be on the ground. But once you are, you can't let teammates down either. So it's Noble didn't know really what to say, but I'm pretty sure that's essentially what he meant. That once you take the field, you've got to do your best. Regardless of the tragedy within his family, this has been going on for a while though. Now, I don't know whether that's because he's been worried about his nan for a while and his head hasn't been right. He's certainly been prominent on social media.
Yeah.
So I'd say again though, there's four or five young players who have looked disinterested this season at various times. Sometimes they're on, sometimes they're not. And they don't look like they're committed to the club or happy with the club. And I think that goes to the overall culture. I don't know what's transpired between the end of last season and beginning of this year, because this is not new. This started the first practice game against Melbourne. Remember they said this has been a wake up call. Right? And we're now at round 15 and they still haven't woken up. So something has gone wrong over preseason. I have no idea what it is, but I'm not prepared to bag Tarryn Thomas. I'm not prepared to bag Jason Horne-Francis, Jai Simkin, Stevenson. There's a whole bunch of them. Powell. There's a whole bunch of these guys that their form is way down on what it was last year. Even Charlie Lazaro is kind of getting. I mean, there's so many of them that don't look the same. There's two or three, four that you say improved year on year, and the rest of them feel like they've gone backwards. And it includes the senior players. You've got to remember, we're not getting much out of our senior players. Their confidence looks shot. So no matter how much they're trying, there's obviously a flat feeling at the club at the moment that wasn't there last year. Remember last year they kept saying everyone's happy to come in, they're excited, regardless of the results and blah, blah, blah. No one's saying that now. That's gone, that talk. Everyone's excited to come in and we're learning and blah, blah, blah. It's just, anyone who watched David Noble's press conference on Sunday, no matter what, forget what he was saying, just have a look at his face and look at his demeanor. It was he was absolutely gutted and shot, bereft of answers. So, and I would be too. You've got Jeff Walsh about to come in the next week, breathing down your neck. There'd almost not be a worse feeling. So I just, I think Lee Matthews always talks about a circuit breaker. I think that as quickly, they need to do this review as quickly as possible and make some changes to release some of the pressure, because I can't see how this is sustainable. If we lost by 10 goals to Adelaide, I'm not confident about how things are going to go against Geelong away this week.
Yeah, that's got bloodbath written all over it, especially Geelong, who are, you know, our percentage is pretty tight between second and fifth.
Yeah.
So they'll go into the game thinking, well, we've got to win and we've got to win big here to get clear of that.
That's right. We're lucky Tom Stewart's going to be out.
Well, ball won't go down there probably, so they shouldn't worry. I don't think they'll have to worry, to be honest with you. So, Yeah, but yeah, just with the Tara Thomas thing, it's disappointing. Obviously, yeah, like you said, wasn't in the right headspace. Whether he should have played or not, only he can answer that, to be honest with you. But yeah, don't ever go on Twitter or Instagram and reply to people that bag you out or anything. And it was a stupid comment back, sort of saying, you know, belittling someone saying that I'm getting paid 10 times more than you. That's just silly. Like that's uncalled for. There's no need to. Yeah, I mean,
To be honest, I just think that goes to his state of mind. That to me just meant he shouldn't have been commenting, talking about it. He shouldn't have been on social media, and he shouldn't have played. Like, yeah. I don't think. Look, let's just put a line through that and go. I doubt if that's a reflection of who he is.
Yeah, we've all said stupid things at certain times.
Yeah, that's it. But he probably needs to go a bit more low key, full stop. You know, for a while.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, you put yourself in the spotlight, I suppose.
Yeah, and
that's what's going to happen, I guess, if you don't perform. That's just part of the business, unfortunately. And sometimes you have to find out the hard way.
Yeah, that's right.
We'll talk about our reserves. They had a good win yesterday, a fairly convincing win. A few good performers. McGuinness, we mentioned Goda, Phoenix Spicer, Callum Coleman-Jones. There's four or five that played pretty well, but I can't see too many changes in the team, to be honest with you. Maybe Tarrant Thomas might have to go out again, but who knows what's going to happen with that situation.
But Bailey Scott's injured, I think. He's done his hip, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's done his hip, but I'm not too sure if he's going to be out this week. I think he might have just been a poor kick.
You certainly wouldn't drop him unless he was injured, but I'd just put Phoenix Spicer in there to help Curtis with that inside 50 tackling. I mean, we can't keep having four or five tackles inside 50 a game. It just doesn't work. So he'd be one I'd be keen to get in there and try. Look, it might not be this week, but sooner rather than later. I think eventually he and Curtis are going to be a great combination down there. That really excites me. I'm really excited by Gota because the way they're describing him, they've been patient with him and they haven't rushed him, but they're starting to get really excited the way they're describing what he's doing. His speed, his athleticism, his ability to kick. He hopefully will be the one to replace Hall off halfback. I know Perez came on as a sub, but I do think we've got some potential there with Perez off halfback as well.
Definitely.
Longer term. Jack Marnie played really good game, 21 possessions, 2 goals.
Yeah, which is good too.
Yeah, which is good. And look, I think he's not. I don't think he's always going to be an automatic selection. I think he's going to be in and out, Jack. But he might end up like Taylor and work his way into a position where I thought Taylor was always going to be in and out, and now he's going to be one of the first picked. He's really, I mean, he's been outstanding the way he's worked his way into that position.
Definitely.
And you're right about, who's the halfback, the key defensive guy is doing well?
McGuinness.
McGuinness, yeah. I think they've got to give him a game this year. They have to.
Yeah, I don't know who's place he takes.
He gets 20 possessions every week.
Plus, yeah, he's good user in football too.
That's right, and great kick. They've got to try him. Look, I think they're just waiting until he's cherry ripe to play. The guy they brought in mid-season draft apparently played well. So there's some, and Charlie Lazaro. I don't know. Again, we've got Powell's just not getting any midfield minutes or very few, as you pointed out. And Charlie Lazaro is just playing the VFL every week. I think they've said they're working on his defensive side of his game, so that's fair enough. I don't have a real problem with that. But if we're going to lose by 10 goals a week, I'd rather do it with kids in the side.
Yeah, well, I don't think playing Hugh Greenwood. Look, Hugh Greenwood's good, today, but at the end of the day, is he going to be part of your next big midfield?
Well, how much worse can they do than Josh Walker just getting absolutely trounced by Taylor Walker? I mean, I've got nothing against Josh Walker. He tries hard every week he plays, but he is not part of our future. They've got to give these. Yeah, I'm not, not so much last week. I understand that, but going forward, they're going to have to bring these kids in. You know, David King just said, I don't care if Greenwood plays in the VFL. Powell needs to play in the seniors in the midfield every week for the rest of the year.
Oh, at least give him a month. Yeah,
that's right. And look, Phillips is obviously not well enough to play, but if he was playing, you'd be saying the same thing about him. Because the poor guy's going to get compared to Logan McDonald for the next 10 years. So at least give him a chance, you know. But I'm not convinced that – I still think he'll be a good player. I can't wait for him to get well and get a chance to play. But I just think there's a lot of – there's some stuff that excited me. I think Eddie Ford, Phoenix Spicer, Gota, you know, you've seen Archer come in and do well. Unfortunately, the blokes that have been there for more than a year with Noble seem to be the ones that are struggling. The ones that have had him for just this year are okay with it.
Yeah, true.
Which is interesting. So, I don't know. I think if we're talking to supporters, I'd just be saying, don't make any judgment on any one player. And I know a few of them came back and said, okay, that's fair enough, apart from Turner.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Look, he may well not be there next year. But they've got enough halfback flanks, and the way Archer's played, that makes it even more difficult for him now. And Phoenix Spicer and Curtis are going to play in front of Turner as well. So, look, he's played 100 games for the club. I just say, don't be disrespectful to someone that's tried their guts out, whether he's here in the future or not.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Just with Josh Walker, you're sort of saying he's a, you know, whether, you know, you take him out of the side or not. Who's been better this season, Josh Walker or Aiden Corr?
I'd say they've been equally as bad.
I'd say Josh Walker's been better than Aiden Corr, to be honest with you. So, yeah,
I think Aiden Corr, because he's younger and he's got a... I think Aiden Corr's been confused by the way he's been asked to play.
Yeah, and like a lot of players, by the looks of it. So.
Yeah, look, I think Aiden Corr's capable. I think he'll be all right.
Yeah,
my problem with Josh Walker is it's not effort. excuse me. It's more his lack of athleticism that makes it hard for him.
Well, hopefully I don't put him on Jeremy Cameron this week like last time.
Oh,
so.
No, God.
Well, he might. I'm not so sure if there's a matchup for him this week. I don't know who their third tall is, because I reckon Mackay will go on Hawkins again.
Yeah.
And Corr will probably go to Jeremy Cameron, if I'd have to take a guess. But, we'll see how we go.
Yes.
David Noble did say, judge us when we play teams around us, and it hasn't been much better, so results-wise. So we'll see how we go this weekend. Did you want to add anything else, Mark, before I let you go?
No, mate, I think I've whinged enough.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough. It sounds like you're struggling with a cough there as well. So, yeah, no, that happens. Anyways, Mark, well, I appreciate you coming on the show to talk about this. Obviously, you've been on the chair tonight, just lying down, talking to a psychiatrist. So good to get it off the chest, I guess.
Absolutely, Dino. Things will only get better.
Well, I couldn't get any much worse, I wouldn't think.
No, that's right.
Yeah, no. Nah. What do you do? You've got to keep your sense of humour in times like this. So
absolutely right.
That's the most important thing. So, anyways, Mark, appreciate you coming on once again, and I'm sure I'll chat to you soon.
Good on you, Dino.
So thanks to Mark for coming on the show once again. That's it for this episode. We'll be back later in the week. I'm not so sure who I'm going to get yet. I'm going to do a preview of the Geelong game coming up over the weekend. That's going to be another tough game, you'd have to expect. There was a lot to talk about with Mark, so yeah, obviously not a happy place to be at North Melbourne, but like I said to Mark, okay, you've got to find a sense of humour in situations like this. You can't take this situation or life too seriously at the moment. It will turn around eventually. That's all I can say at the moment. That's probably the only positive thing I can say at the moment as well. Appreciate the likes, comments, retweets, all you guys are doing for the show. It really helps the show grow. It goes out to more people. And, yeah, I can't thank you enough for doing all that. I can't reply to all comments and so forth. There's just so many coming in at some time. So, yeah, but I really appreciate you all interacting. Hopefully we can be rewarded soon enough with our loyalty towards the club and with some good performances. And there's a lot of negativity going on at the club at the moment, and hopefully we can turn it around sooner rather than later. I mean, it might have to be a change with a number of areas off field as well as a little bit on field as well. So hopefully things can change for the better sooner. I can't see it happening this week against Geelong. Like I was telling Mark, they need, spot is pretty tight between 2 and 5, so they're going to look for a good win over the weekend. Even though they don't have Tom Stewart, I still expect that they'll get a pretty comfortable win, and it's probably not a bad week for him to miss. I haven't heard anything about how many weeks he's going to get Tom Stewart, but it was a bit of an ugly incident and pretty disappointing if you're a Richmond fan in that regard. Anyways, keep up the great work, all you listeners. I'll be back later in the week, but that's it. So today, I will leave a shout-out to Mark Brayshaw. Bye for now.